Universities and the cities they call home often have relationships that are both symbiotic and strained. Some city leaders simply feel ignored by their biggest neighbors, but the COVID-19 pandemic created a new layer to the so-called town gown dynamic. Sarah Hebel is the executive editor of Open Campus, a nonprofit news organization that investigates higher education. In a story for USA Today, she wrote about how universities and their home cities collaborated or didn't during the pandemic. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
The town gown tensions in these cities are complicated. The universities are often the biggest employer in those communities. And at the same time, because of their nonprofit status, universities don't pay property taxes, although many make voluntary payments of some sort to their communities. When you spoke to Ann Arbor Mayor Christopher Taylor, how did he sum up the relationship between the University of Michigan and the city?
So Christopher Taylor told me that, you know, overall he sees the relationship as benevolent, but also very volitional and asymmetric. So one of his statements to me was, we're not in the position to force anything.
And there's that other layer going on there where the communities rely on the university in more than just employment. I mean, their downtown districts, many of the businesses, especially restaurants, bars, barbershops, rely on student traffic to stay afloat.
That's correct. And, you know, in speaking with the Michigan State community and Aaron Stevens, the mayor of East Lansing, he ran for city council when he was a student at Michigan State. And part of the reason he told me was because he felt that the community was losing sight of the benefit of the students. They were seeing the nuisance of them, the parties, the loud noises, but they were missing out on the fact that these students are bringing life to community. They bring vitality to its culture and, yes, dollars to its businesses. And that became pretty stark and clear when there were a lot of shutdowns during the pandemic.
Well, and some of the things that you mentioned there, the partying and tailgating, that sort of thing, happens around athletic events, especially football. And your story starts with a letter that 12 mayors sent to the Big Ten Athletic Conference. This was in the fall when the conference was getting ready to bring football back. And the mayors had concerns about what games and all that go with them could mean for the spread of COVID. What did they say to the conference in that letter?
What they wanted were some basic things to have the conference take into account, not just the COVID rates among the players and teams, but also among the broader community, to think about whether there might be a bigger risk to the population of their towns. And beyond that, they also sought limited number of evening games, which tend to have, of course, higher rates of partying and socializing. So wanted to try to see if the schedule could also help tamp down some of their concerns about potential spread based on these gatherings.
At the time of the things that you're talking about in your story, college campuses were really, in many cases, hot spots for COVID-19. And I thought it was interesting to learn that MSU appreciated some of the tougher city and county measures that were put in place there to slow the spread of COVID that were more strict than the state measures. And that allowed MSU to take some actions of its own.
Right. They said that gave them a lot more leverage than they would have had otherwise. So, you know, suddenly they were seeing the partnership with their city being much more important to them. And that's a dynamic that maybe shifted a little bit here. One of the things that comes through in these conversations is just how much more powerful these universities are often than their cities. They have bigger budgets by far. They control more resources. And so oftentimes it's the case that the universities are the ones deciding whether or not to engage, essentially. In the case you just cited with Michigan State, they definitely saw very clearly some tangible benefits of engagement.
Sarah, I want to turn back to sports. They are such a big part of campus life at the schools that you looked at. And the mayors who sent that original letter to the Big Ten never did get a meeting with the conference. And you note that by that point, the Big Ten was already far along in planning the return of football. Did you see any change in that go-it-alone mindset in the athletic departments?
you know, there are different layers here where the universities are talking with the cities. The universities are also talking with the Big Ten, and those mayors didn't have that direct connection with the Big Ten. So their relationships with different players here often put them on the smaller side with not as much say. One of the interesting conversations I had was with the health commissioner in Columbus, who talked a lot about how she tried to use the power of football and to use the power of Ohio State and its influence to help carry her own messages. So having football coaches or players appear in advertisement campaigns about wearing masks or about practicing social distancing, I think that's where she was trying to find her way in to advance some of her own concerns about the entire community and protecting its health.
Oh, does Ohio State have a large football program? I hadn't been aware of that here in Michigan.
Sorry, I guess your audience maybe doesn't want to hear about that.
Sarah, in a couple of months, students will be returning to campuses from all over the states and the country and the world. I live here in Ann Arbor and know from talking to friends and neighbors that there are concerns about what could happen when unvaccinated students return and what could happen with variants that we've been hearing about over the last couple of months. How do you see the dynamics between universities and cities shifting as we enter yet another new phase of this pandemic?
Yes, there's still a lot of uncertainty, and these mayors are hopeful that the new relationships and new lines of communication that they've been able to establish over the past year could help them work with universities to protect communities as well as students, no matter what happens with the variants. But a lot remains to be seen as we all are exiting this pandemic and trying to re-enter life as we sort of knew it. We go back to a lot of our same interests. There are differences, and there are big ones between these universities and the cities that could still put pressure on these relationships as they move forward.
Sarah, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you for having me. You're welcome. I enjoy talking with you.
Sarah Hebel is the co-founder and executive editor of the nonprofit journalism organization Open Campus. Her article on the relationships between universities and their home cities appeared in USA Today. You're listening to Morning Edition on Michigan Radio.